The American Cancer Society says that there's now enough evidence to recommend screening certain older, heavy smokers for lung cancer. And here to tell us all about Upstate's Cancer Center Lung Cancer Screening Program are Dr. Leslie Coman, Medical Director of the Cancer Center and the Director of the new Lung Cancer Screening Program, Dr. Ernest Scalzetti, Professor of Radiology and the Director of Thoracic Imaging, and Linda Veit, the Project Manager for the Cancer Center and the Program Coordinator for the Lung Cancer Screening Program. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for coming in today. So this is very exciting news, and this whole recommendation from the Cancer Center, Dr. Coman, tell us a little bit about the history about these new recommendations.
Right. We were very excited to hear last week that the American Cancer Society final guidance on screening for lung cancer had finally been released. And there was a study done by the National Cancer Institute, which was reported about 2 years ago, showing that low-dose CT scans for a certain high-risk population group reduced the rate of death from lung cancer and all deaths in that group by an annual CT scan. And since then, the American Cancer Society has been studying the data, and they have finally come out with a definite recommendation illustrating that they believe there is very likely to be substantial benefit from this program. This is a very strong recommendation from the American Cancer Society.
I think that you had been on this show once before recently talking about your new program, and I remember the figure of a 20% reduction in mortality, which seemed very dramatic.
It's a 20% relative reduction, which is a complicated statistical fact, meaning about a 7% absolute reduction in mortality, which is very substantial. It actually exceeds the reduction in mortality achieved by screening for colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer.
And before this, a lot of times, I think with lung cancer in particular, early diagnosis is so important because usually by the time you're coughing heavily or you have some real symptoms, you're really well into the disease and it's very hard to cure.
That's right. Early lung cancer has no symptoms.
So the idea of doing these CT scans really can pick up an awful lot.
Right, right.
What exactly are the recommendations? We talk about heavy smokers. Tell me about that.
The high-risk group of people for which this screening is recommended are those between the ages of 55 and 74 who have had at least a 30-pack year history of smoking. That means one pack a day for 30 years, half a pack a day for 60 years, or two packs a day for 15 years.
Wow. Okay.
Or some combination. And if they have quit smoking, they must have quit within the last 15 years. So after 15 years of quitting smoking, your risk begins to decline. So the screening recommendation does not apply if a heavy smoker has quit more than 15 years ago.
But so all of those people are really considered still high risk.
Yes.
For lung cancer,
right.
Even if they have no symptoms.
Right, exactly. That's what screening is for, people with no symptoms.
So the recommendation is that these people then find a center. Speak to their own doctor or whatever, discuss the possibility of screening and find a center.
Right. The American Cancer Society has stated that the screening, which is a low-dose CT scan done every year, be done in a center of excellence. Upstate has just achieved center of excellence by the Lung Cancer Alliance, and we are one of the few programs in New York State, and except for Roswell Park in Buffalo, we're the only location in New York State outside of the metro area.
That's really quite significant. How about other smokers? I mean, is there any evidence at this point whether this kind of screening would help them as well? People who don't fall into quite that category?
There is no evidence now, and it is unlikely that there will be firm evidence coming anytime soon because there's not a study going on with lower risk smokers. However, we do know that secondhand smoke can cause lung cancer, probably about 3,000 deaths a year from cancers caused by secondhand smoke in non-smokers and other environmental factors. So the elimination of tobacco smoke throughout our communities is very, very important, as well as individual smoking cessation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll talk more about those recommendations, or specifically what individuals, how they can come and get screened. But I had a question about the CT scans. Dr. Scalzetti, help me understand that I understand that there can be some pitfalls and some hazards that go along with using the CT scan as an annual means of screening.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I think many of our listeners are familiar with CT scanning and fact that it provides us with cross-sectional images of the body. And in our case, we're specifically interested in the chest. The images that we obtain as part of the screening program are very thin sections. They provide an immense amount of information. However, they can reveal abnormalities in the lungs that are not of any clinical significance to the patient. And when I say clinical significance, I mean in the long run, they're not going to cause the patient any problems.
Any harm.
And so if we find these things, we have to be able to distinguish them somehow from the nodules that do represent lung cancer. And so it's like separating wheat from chaff. And there are a variety of approaches that we can take to accomplish this. But if you refer back to the large investigation that was performed to actually support lung cancer screening, about 95% or 19 out of 20 abnormalities that were detected in the lungs that looked like they might be cancer in the screening program turned out not to be. And so there's a, you know, a lot of chaff for every positive finding.
And so what are the possible pitfalls with a false positive? What then might happen?
Well, first of all, it's up to the radiologist who's interpreting the study to examine, you know, all of the abnormalities. And in our experience, our program just started recently, but most of our patients, I believe, have had at least one finding on their CT scans. It's up to the radiologist to determine how a level of concern. And so, you know, how important do I think this finding is? And that's based on a number of things. It's based on the size, it's based on the appearance, and just the experience of the person who's looking at the study.
So you need to be in a center where you have very experienced technical assistance and help, and radiologists who've really done this kind of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really essential.
Because it strikes me from what I've read, and I don't want to run out of time, but that there can be some very negative sequelae, some problems that come of doing further invasive studies following a potential false positive.
That's true. And in almost every instance, we can deal with these findings by either getting an additional CT scan at a later time or saying, well, you know, we know based on guidelines that this can wait for a full year before we have to look at it again. So we very rarely have to resort to any kind of invasive maneuvers to get additional information.
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we have to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back with more about Upstate's lung cancer screening program. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen, along with Drs. Komen, Scalzetti, and Linda Veet, program coordinator, and we're talking about Upstate's lung cancer screening program. You know, right before the break, Dr. Scalzetti, you were very clearly suggesting that even though there are some potential hazards with positive, with false positive rates, you said that you really find that we don't, here at Upstate, you don't have to really go in and do this invasive procedures that could lead to harm, for example.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we are very careful about our recommendations, and we try to, you know, take a conservative approach, but we also, the whole point of the lung cancer screening program is not to miss cancers, and so we have to have balance there. Now, you know, I also I think we have to recognize that different people deal with anxiety in different ways, and you know, having the knowledge that a finding was made on a CT scan and understanding that a recommendation was made for a repeat CT in, say, 6 months or a year, people will have to live with that. And so I think, you know, everybody should understand up front that they may encounter a recommendation like that and consider how they're going to deal with it, you know, personally.
But in general, you find that in most cases you don't necessarily recommend further invasive biopsies and the like.
Absolutely not. No, in fact, I don't think we've had a single instance of that so far.
As part of your program, do you help people along with that kind of anxiety in terms of reassuring them and helping them through that?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to turn to my colleagues.
Yeah, we'll talk to more about that in just a minute. I'd like to understand that, because that is obviously an issue if you come forward and you take the big step of having a screening and then something is found, but it's not really certain what it is.
Sure.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But I did have one other question for you, Dr. Scalzetti, again about the radiation issue or about the idea of CT. I mean, it does carry some radiation, and there could be some risk associated with that. What have you got to say about that on an annual basis?
First of all, I think people should understand that we've taken every measure to keep the radiation dose as low as possible. We want the images, however, are created by the use of radiation, and so without any radiation, you wouldn't have an image at all. So, you know, there's, again, we have to tread a fine line. And I think in the course of keeping radiation dose as low as possible, we've reduced it to the point where it's equivalent to maybe 10 or 15 chest X-rays on that order. And a chest X-ray radiation dose is extremely low. So the bottom line is the doses are so low that for an individual, we really have no idea whether there really is any increased risk involved in being exposed to radiation. Now, the irony is that, you know, high radiation exposures can increase the risk of getting cancer, which is the very thing that we're trying to combat here. But I think the doses are so low that the risk of involved by the radiation is probably negligible.
It's interesting because I understand right now that Upstate is the only low-dose lung cancer screening program in the Central New York area right now.
I believe that's true, yes.
Right. So, Linda, let's get to the program. Tell us about the program. What exactly are you offering? And clearly it's going to be people who are within this high-risk group.
Mm-hmm.
55 to 74, former smokers. Tell us more about it.
Right. Well, you have to meet a certain eligibility criteria, as you said. You have to be between the ages of 55 and 74 and have somewhat of a significant smoking history, 30 pack years or more, current or former. If you're a former smoker, you had to have quit within the last 15 years to be eligible. We don't want people that have had a lung cancer diagnosis or that have had any chest CT scans within the last 12 months.
So those are some of the eligibility requirements. What happens? So what happens when someone signs up, so to speak?
Well, if they think they're eligible, they can call our Upstate Connect number at 464-8668. Their eligibility will be confirmed. If they have questions, they can always contact myself, the program coordinator, Dr. Komen, or Dr. Scalzetti, if they need more information on the risks and benefits of having such a scan.
Do you also recommend that generally if someone's considering having this, you know, they fit into this criteria, they're concerned about themselves, having a conversation about this with whomever their current physician or provider is?
Definitely. And that's what the American Cancer Society stresses, is to have a conversation with a clinician about the risks and benefits, whether it's your own primary care provider or one of us.
So what else happens? So they come in, they have the scan.
They come in, and it's a very quick scan. It takes approximately 20 seconds on the CT table. It's very, very quick. They leave that night with a disc. A CD is burned with their image of the scan on, so they have that for their records.
How long do they have to wait before they get the reading or the recommendations following the scan?
They get the official report within 48 hours. First, they get a call from the medical director with the result, and then a letter is mailed to them and also to their primary care physician, who also gets a call from the medical director within 48 hours.
So the question that we just raised a little bit earlier, we're talking to Dr. Scalzetti about the possibility of a finding that is not clear and the need to perhaps retest again in either 6 months or wait a year. How do you have the opportunity to help people through this or talk to them through this, or is there some part of your program that deals with that?
Right. As Dr. Scalzetti said, it is an anxiety provoking experience, or it can be if something worrisome is found.
Sure.
But that's where we stress that we have the experience to handle that. We are a university academic medical center doing this program. We have the specialists who are able to have the correct conversation with the patients if they're worried about it.
And if I could just interject, this is not the first time that we've done a lung cancer screening program.
This is not?
This is not the first time.
Tell us about that.
And so there was, is it 10 years now?
Yeah, it's more actually. We started that in 1999. We were part of a large, first New York State and then international screening trial for lung cancer. So we actually have the same team has been experienced in this for more than a decade.
Wow. That's very reassuring.
And because of that, we are aware that this is not just a simple radiology procedure. Our lung cancer screening program is an entire program. It includes the things that Linda mentioned already, plus smoking cessation counseling and follow-up for anyone who is still a current smoker.
I think that's crucial because obviously if you're coming and you have some concern about your health and you are still smoking, the solution is to stop smoking.
Right. The first thing we encourage is the smoking cessation.
And you have a very, very good program.
We have a counselor on site the night of the scan, the evening of the scan, to help the patients through their smoking cessation counseling. And also, it's an ongoing program. It's not a one and done. It goes on for 9 to 12 months afterwards. The counselor will continue to call them and see how they're progressing.
That's quite impressive.
And the other thing we want people to remember, that having a scan doesn't give them license to keep smoking.
I think that's crucial. Well, I want to thank you so much. This has been very, very informative. I really wish you great luck in the future endeavor with this screening program. I think it's clearly greatly needed, and I think you'll probably end up helping a lot of people both to stop smoking and possibly saving some lives along the way. So thanks again for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Leslie Coman. She is the medical director of the Cancer Center and the director of the new lung cancer screening program. Dr. Ernest Scalzetti, professor of radiology and director of thoracic imaging, and Linda Veit, the project manager for the Cancer Center and program coordinator for the lung cancer screening program. Thanks very, very much. We'll be right back after the news with more HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570.